Absolutely massive weekend for the Hawkeyes. Men's comeback against Michigan State. Clark, buzzer beater against number 2 Indiana. Brecht throwing smoke, taking down number 1 LSU Tigers. All of the sports talk starts at about 20 minutes into the show. Before that, Drake helps us recap a bachelor party weekend in Arizona. An amazing story in that segment as well. Let's have a day. Let's go.
This is the Friendship Podcast, and I'm kind of sad right now because I'm missing two of my friends on this Friendship Podcast. Kevin is not here yet. He was getting home late. I was kind of late as well tonight. Semi-midnight podcast. Definitely the late-night podcast for two-thirds of this group here.
Yeah.
Gary, probably not. Me, I'm still in okay time zone here. But I digress. Gary, I hope that you get to the library and into one of those safe rooms quickly because we miss you, pal, and it doesn't feel right without you here.
We're currently renting Gary a room at the library. Hopefully he can hopefully we can get his name on one of those little – and it looks like Kevin's entered the backstage as well, so that's good. This is the Friendship Podcast. We'll speak on friend stuff for a second here. But I think you're right. I think Gary stays up at all hours, dude. I'll get messages from Gary that he has a clip churned out at 1:30 in the morning. Right.
You know what it was like in college, dude. It's so much different than being an old, just loser, man. That's what we are now. We're just old losers.
You know, we're going on 29.
Don't start me because I'm not mature enough to be 30 years old.
We're real close to 30.
Like, I'm more on, like, the 20 side of things than the 30 side of things. Kevin's more on the 30 side of things. You're more on the 30 side.
His fucking camera just fell off his computer.
I'm sitting on the 20 side of things. So, man,
you think
I'm 30.
What? So, okay. So, what?
Dude, when I saw Hayden Schneider in particular, he's the one that I think of in particular when he on 30, because I saw his Instagram and he went to Miami with his wife for his 30th, had a kid, like he felt old, dude. When I was looking at those pictures, I was like, that's old. I'm like, shoot, what am I gonna do? I got 2 years to figure out how to not be an idiot.
Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
Thanks, Dolph.
what's up, gents?
Do you feel old, Kev?
Yes. Yes and no. Depends on the day. Depends on the day, where I'm at, what I'm doing, who I'm around.
Kev Poppy, you were a big topic of conversation this weekend.
I was now.
Yes.
Who? With who?
Bo, Josie, Ben, Gervais, myself, Easley. You know, you just came up in conversation. Obviously, Bo, being with Stryker, was talking work with Josie. Your name would come up in any Stryker conversation, basically, because you're the CEO of the company. Why would it not? And we honestly talked about the egregious amount of money that you're currently making, all of which was estimation, nothing known, but when you're the CEO, it gets kind of ridiculous. So, you know, you're just, it was all positives, man. We were all complimenting the fact that, you know, that you actually lived up to what people expected you to do after college. And that was just instantly succeed. And it pisses me off.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Drake.
God damn it, Kevin.
If only I made as much money as y'all probably think I make.
No, I'm being facetious for the podcast.
I'm not. Kevin makes 800 grand a year.
That was not our number, Kevin, just so you know.
That'd be nice though.
If you
Bo did say that one guy that he knows in Colorado makes something like that.
Oh, yeah. If you're like one of the top reps in the country, you're probably making north of $500,000 a year easily.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of people? So we're getting in the weeds here. Friendship podcast. It's what you get around here. We're going to go deep into the striker sales rep situation.
We're also going to go deep into college basketball because deep. That was insane.
Fuck, dude. What? Kev,
I want to hear more about Benjamin's bachelor party this weekend with the
sure,
boys.
Tell us.
So, phenomenal time. Bo got here Wednesday night. His flight was delayed. It was kind of a disaster. But me and Bo, man, when Bo and I get together, just egregious, outrageous, unthinkable, unspeakable things are said.
That's and Goop Gang right there.
We had a lot of fun, man. And then Thursday, Bo, me, Gervas, and Lucas LeGrand at the bachelor party.
Really?
Shout out, Lucas. We weren't friends in college, buddy. We didn't get along in college. Turn the page. We're both adults. Hey, me and Lucas get along just fine.
Holy shit.
No, Drake, no issues whatsoever.
You are old as fuck, huh?
So us four went out and played on Thursday, had a phenomenal time, went to the Airbnb, met up with everybody, obviously did what dudes do on bachelor parties, and that's
jack each other up,
drink a lot of beer, play some beer pong games and shit, and then Nick had got a party bus for a couple hours, and then they were going to downtown Scottsdale to a club. Uh-huh. Get to the club, and turns out I was unaware that Ben's soon-to-be brother-in-law is not quite 21, actually not quite 19. So the kid was trying to get into a nightclub. Oh, yeah, I hesitate to call it a nightclub, but it's definitely more than a bar in downtown Scottsdale, which is very, very tight with their security because it's quite expensive for the bar in Arizona when they get caught.
Dude, so, Scottsdale's so legit.
So they immediately take his ID and boot him right in front of Ben. It's like it was like four or five of us were left to get in. Everybody had already headed in with their wristbands, and this kid gets booted. And I know how expensive Ubers are at hot times in Scottsdale. And I'm like, I'm not going to stick this kid with an $80 or $100 Uber. So hopped in the cab with him. Great excuse for me not to have to go out to a nightclub. And me and the kid went back to the house. Bang. I grabbed a muffin, jumped in my car, drove to my house, and went to bed like an old man. Fast forward a day, we went and played paintball. And let me tell you what, if you're a listener of this show who has not yet had their bachelor party, if that's the part of your life that you're in, where that's in the future, put paintballing on it, dude. Paintballing is fucking sweet when it's with the boys, man.
Damn.
We got to play paintball for 4 hours. Obviously, wow. There was down times, in and out times, but we played at least 10 matches, if not a dozen.
Tell me Bo went full tactical.
Dude, you called it on the nose. Bo Bauer was by far, unequivocally, no contest the best player because he was patient. He was tactical. He would wait until he got the advantage. He would take an advantageous spot. And boom, just check angles. And he would just do it until they got an advantageous number of people. And he just played as militant as you could ever expect. And to be honest, he mowed our team down. I was able to eliminate Bo in three or four games. And a couple other guys were able to eliminate him. Maybe I might have got Bo three times. And then a couple other guys might have got him a time or two. But other than that, man, Bo put it on us bad. The only times Bo was getting out was when he was getting flanked, when he was outnumbered terribly. And dude, Gervas, Bo described it as Gervais shot him like a scared Afghani with an AK. He just closed his eyes and just sprayed. Bo got eliminated 4 times in the whole day.
How many times did y'all play?
Maybe a dozen. Okay. He either got eliminated 3 or 4 times. His KD was unreal. But he had 18 welts on his back. That means he was shot point blank in the back 18 times in 3 or 4 eliminations. So Gervais got him an insane number of times. It dropped him to his knees.
Kev, how much would you pay for a highlight montage of Bo Bauer, like slow motion with war music of the weekend paintball?
To be honest, I think you would probably want a montage of me better because you got a lot more movement. With Bo, all you get is angle check and just pulling the trigger. He just angle checks and pulls the trigger. It's militant, dude. Me, I run and gun. I'm trying to get all sorts of different spots. Check the map out.
You're fucking charging the enemy lines, yelling "Oorah!" like fucking Soviets back in the 40s. Just like, but you know what? The motherland's going to survive.
It was like storming the beach.
I had a great KD. I probably had, 8 deaths. I probably had 20 kills.
Okay.
Oh, damn.
A little 2.5?
It was something like that.
Man, that makes me sad because y'all know Nick from he was one of my ushers. Redhead, he did paintballing for his bachelor party, which I was an usher for and invited to, but I was unable to go because I had like a funeral or something. I don't remember. And so now that pisses me off that I couldn't paintball. Did you guys just wear just raggedy clothes? Like, no.
I wore the Goat Wallace t-shirt.
Fucking way. That's amazing. So no, you didn't wear like, you have helmets on, right?
Yeah. You have face gear. Yeah. You have a,
but other than that, it's just
Most guys wore sweatshirts cause it wasn't really warm until about halfway through, but I got warm running around and stuff.
Yeah.
I just wore a t-shirt and sweatpants.
Cool.
Sounds fast forward another day. Yesterday we went golfing and I saw one of the most unbelievable things, and I'm going to take this back. We are on hole, man, what hole was it, Kev, when you made that eagle? Was it 15 at Pleasant Valley, and you launched your wedge in the air?
Oh, shoot. It's, I think it's 16. It's
no, 16's the par 4. 15's the long par 5.
It was 16. It was 16. Wait. Are you talking about when I threw the club up in the air?
And hit Bo in the head.
It was 16 at Brown Deer, yeah.
16 at Brown Deer, okay.
Yeah, I hold out from about 50 yards out. I hit a nice drive, then hold out for 50 yards out for a nice little eagle. Toss my wedge up in the air, and I'm just like running around, and then I see it in slow motion just twirling down and it pops right down on Bo's bald ass head.
I remember when you guys came home from that.
Bo was pissed.
He was so fucking mad, dude. Oh my God.
You know what made it worse is that he lost the match and had to pay me $50 after two.
you domed him and took a 50 spot.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's so shitty.
Fast forward to this weekend, Saturday. We are on hole 15. Bo has not had the best day on the golf course by any means. He had hurt his back doing thrusters, ironically, the Monday before the bachelor party. So now it's Saturday. His back is still fucked up.
I was going to say, there was a thruster in the open workout.
Yep. And he's not having the best day. He goes for a walk. He starts walking around the pond that is – green side on the previous hole. I'm like, Bo, where are you going? He's like, walking. He's pissed. Walks over to the group behind who has Gervais and Josie in it. And he's standing by their cart, watching them hit whatever. He's talking to Josie and Gervais. Josie makes the comment. He says, oh shit, Nick's up. Nick Neiman is up. Bo didn't know what that means, but he's like, huh, I wonder if he's good. And he kind of ducks behind the cart. still talking to Josie or whatever, but they're kind of watching Nick's shot. Nick does one of the most incredibly unathletic things that I've ever seen in my life and hits a dead shank hosel rocket. Face couldn't be more open. Bladed wedge into Bo's jaw.
No. No.
Hits Bo dead in the jaw. Hit him dead in the jaw with a hosel rocket.
Oh, no. All right. So like Nick's face, like he's aimed towards 12 o'clock, right? Where is Bo standing that this ball went?
Bo is standing.
Bo's at 3 o'clock?
Bo is at not quite at 3 o'clock. Bo is at his 2 o'clock, maybe 2:15.
Wow.
He wasn't dead to the right of him, but he was so close and far enough right that it was like impossible. It is flat out impossible to hit him there.
It's incredible how often you can sometimes get like a football player or otherwise good athletes, put them on a golf course, and they have no idea how to move their body.
So I want to now take this back to Wednesday night when Bo and I are going through funny videos from college. And he pulls up a video of Nick Neiman, him forcing Nick to take his shoes off in the locker room, like be his peasant and take his cleats off. Now we're laughing at that Wednesday night. Now I'm just howling. I mean, inside, I stood there just frozen. And inside, I'm like, there's no way that happened. Like, is he good? He's like, you could tell he was not doing hot. It dropped him to his knees. He said for a second, because everything kind of like went shock numb. He thought he broke his jaw. Was unbelievable. So that was one of the events that just added
He's lucky he kept his teeth.
For real. For real. And you know what's hilarious? It hit him square in a Zen pouch.
God damn it, bro. What was Neiman's reaction?
Froze. Put his hands over his mouth.
Deer in the headlights.
Froze deer in the headlights.
So Nick had to be, let me think, unless there's other people that I don't know who were there, Nick had to be the worst golfer there.
It was a race for the worst, for sure.
Okay.
Ben's not great.
Easley's not bad.
Easley played terrible. Shout out Easley, though, man. Great time. Nobody's a better time than Easley.
Yeah, Nick's a great dude.
He knows how to have a good time.
Both Nicks, great dudes. Shout out to both Nicks.
All of them great dudes. Great dudes.
Nick DeMarco's a good dude too.
Got to hang out with Jay Shiel again. Jay Shiel, great time.
Talk about a guy we need to have on the pod.
I don't know if he would really.
I don't know if he would either.
I don't know if he'd want to. He's a real soft spoken guy. Fun time, but super, super soft spoken.
Kev, you probably didn't hear much. He was obviously in the class behind us with he graduated.
We watched his highlight film.
Yeah, and I think he was a 4-star recruit, and he was like, when Iowa got Jay, that was a big fucking deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just never.
He was like a quarterback that they were, and then we turned him into receiver. Like he was just literally always hurt. I don't know if he's ever healthy.
It was his knees, man. Terrible, terrible knees. Somebody asked him. I might have asked him, or somebody else might have asked him how his knees were. And he said, not that great. Could be better.
That's ass. Who is it? Who's this? I just saw a tweet about is it a Dolphins cornerback?
Byron Jones, the UConn corner that absolutely torched the combine, said he can't walk anymore or run anymore.
He can't run or jump.
How old's this guy?
He's like 28
years after he graduated. He's 31.
He's a little older than us, maybe.
Jeez.
Maybe.
I mean, you got to have some injuries to have it that happen that way.
Signed a massive contract.
No one wearing hair doesn't do that to you.
Gary, you in here now? Are you alive?
Oh, yes.
Holy shit, buddy.
Sorry. I don't know what happened internet-wise, but it wasn't going well.
It's good to have you. It didn't feel right without you in here.
Oh, wait. I'm happy to be here now. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, you're okay. You're okay. Can you search the Byron Jones thing quick?
Yeah, I'm working on it. Hold on.
Appreciate you. All right. So isn't it nice to have Gary in here?
It's great to have Gary. I told you, get missed you, Gary.
By the way, did you guys get a care package from the pork producers?
No, I haven't seen one.
Not yet. Gary's the only one who's got this. I think they only sent it to Gary.
You know what? Honestly, that's fair. I'd only send it to him, too.
Byron Jones tweet, much has changed in 8 years. Today, I can't run or jump because of my injuries sustained playing this game. Do not take the pills they give you. Do not take the injections they give you. If you absolutely must, consult an outside doctor to learn the long-term implications. Yikes.
I've only got one gripe with his argument.
And that's take the pills?
Take the pills, man. They're great.
You think he's talking about just like painkillers to play through shit and like injections and all that stuff?
Well,
or are you talking like, you know, steroids can fuck you up a little bit?
I don't think it's steroid. They're saying
talk about the painkillers so that he was playing through injuries that he shouldn't have been.
I'm guessing that injections and pills are all pain related. And then you guys know, like, if you're playing, you know, with a sedated pain signal, and then you go and fuck that joint or that bone or whatever up more.
Oh, is that what happened to me? Is that why I can't walk or run right either?
I mean, that's dangerous. That's really dangerous. But I wouldn't know. I was a long snapper. I had an injection. They gave me a flu shot 1 year. You know? That's as close as I got to an injection at Iowa.
Think about this. They gave me Toradol, and then I threw Percocet on top of it.
You probably didn't even know where the fuck you were at.
I was just playing, baby. I knew what 23B meant.
Drake thought he was on the other team.
Dude, it hurt. Football hurt a lot after I just got hurt all the time.
Yeah, I feel you. It is what it is. Anyway, shout out to the pork producers and the pork. We should be receiving a care package, I believe. Gary's probably the closest, right? He's like on site. I mean, Kevin lives there too, I guess. Kev, you might have it on your porch. Who knows? Gary, hop in here. What'd you grab?
We got this hat here. Yeah, I wanted to make sure I wore this on the show. Thank you, Washington Pork Producers, for sending me stuff. Great hat, apron as well.
An apron?
Oh yeah. Here, hold on.
Let me grab all this stuff.
Hold on.
Let's go.
I'm doing. Oh, if we got aprons, I'm doing the show naked in apron only. It's a wrap, similar to a wrapped chicken breast with bacon, pork. Eat more pork, people. He put it on. Holy shit. Look at that, boys.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Eat more pork.
Yes, thank you.
Eat more pork.
Pork producers.
Shout out to the pork producers. Throw some pork on the menu tomorrow. You know, find yourself a pork chop for lunch or it's healthy. Pork your wife. Or pork your wife. Nutritionally, I don't know how that's going to go, but you will burn calories. So healthy as well. God damn it. I had something in my brain, Drake, and then you say pork your wife and everything goes away. I just lose my train of thought.
Start thinking about porking your wife or what?
No. No. Did that. Had a kid.
That video that was sent in the group chat.
Raisin cream pies.
Raisin cream pies is phenomenal.
Unbelievable. I thought that was pretty funny.
So I'm sure some of you saw it go around who are listening. Dad joke of the century. There's a guy in a grocery store. Some, you know, the Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies, the raisin variety.
Which, who eats those? You're a psychopath.
Nobody. Just get the regular ones, right? But, you know, there's 10 boxes sitting there on the stand of raisin cream pies. And he zooms in on it and he says, raisin cream pies. And he turns the camera. Kid comes running past him. He goes, I'm raising one right here. Just the ultimate dad joke.
I'm glad you guys got a kick out of that as I did.
That's so good. Shout out to Kinley upstairs right now, hopefully sleeping.
Yeah. You know, it's perfectly acceptable to tell people you're trying to have a kid. It's socially awkward when you tell people you're just cream pieing your wife every night.
You're so right, though. Like, when you put it in the context, it's like you're saying the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing.
Like, when you tell someone, yeah, we're trying right now.
I've been thinking that for so long, man.
When you tell
every
someone
time that somebody tells me they're trying to have a kid, all I can think about, it my mind goes directly to their wife getting loads blown in her, dude. It's weird.
I'm so sorry to the pork producers that this is somehow we always fuck up when what we talk about right around the pork. But it's just, it's memorable, right? I guarantee the pork consumption of our community has gone up just tenfold since we started talking about it.
I'm eating a shitload of sausage and bacon, boys.
I had bacon on Saturday. I had a big open workout. Nick got me in week one, right? But your boy came back in week two, okay? All right, so it's 1-1. Now, granted, week two was a two-parter. There's a max thruster at the end of a 15-minute workout. Max thruster as a part two to this week's workout. And your boy put up 270, okay?
How many?
More than I can back squat.
Oh, wait, a one-rep max. I thought you meant
one-rep max thruster, which for those at home is a front squat. And this was actually a thruster from the floor. So you had to clean it first. Into the front squat, come up out of the hole, and up at the top, drive through and press overhead.
No pause.
No pause.
You can't drop under it either, right?
No dropping under it.
Man, Jesus Christ, you're strong.
Come on now, my guy. Top 1,000 in the world on that.
Come on.
And we made up some fucking ground this week, boys.
Whoops.
We came out, and the first part was just pure shuttle runs and burpee pull-ups. Ouch. That part hurt. But I beat Nick and I beat Cole. And I think it's the bald. I think going bald is really what did it. I should have gone bald a long time ago.
Much more aerodynamic.
I mean, I immediately got fitter. So is what it is. Let's see. What do I have on the docket to talk about today? I know we got basketball. There were some comments. So from the Keeter conversation, Ben Keeter, for those that listened, a lot of comments. Never received more comments on YouTube or in the DMs than we did about the Ben Keeter conversation. Consensus is that he is absolutely, obviously, 100% going to wrestle heavyweight. And from at least these, I don't know, they could be Cheeto fingers at home. I have no idea. Who sound like they know a lot more about the college wrestling scene than we do. They say it's pretty common for like the best heavyweights to be in that 250 range. So, and that him at 6'3 is actually tall for a heavyweight wrestler. So he should be able to do both. The question will become, how much weight does he want to put on? And then is he a linebacker or is he a D-end?
How successful can he be without a real spring ball? Right, they're in spring ball right now, aren't they?
Ben? Or you? No. Iowa football?
Iowa. No.
No, they'll be in it. They've got another 3 weeks
after spring break.
It's damn near March, and I don't remember that much.
So you're right.
Yeah. Nationals is like middle of March, and then he'll just roll right into spring ball probably.
Wow.
That's tough.
A meat grinder. A mental meat grinder, bro. They better have a sports psychologist for him.
A sports psychologist and a lot of those injections and pills that Byron Jones was just talking about.
Wrestling, if there's a rougher sport than football, it's wrestling.
Gymnastics is pretty bad on the joints.
That's true. They do pretty bad on their bodies, too.
Wrestling, I mean, you would
know. Wrestling, they do bad on their bodies, dude.
You just have other dudes cranking on you all day.
It's tough sport.
I mean, can't be good for the shoulders, right? Unless you're Spencer. I mean, if you're Spencer, you just spend so little time on the mat that you just. But I suppose the hours.
No, to be honest, it's not that he doesn't spend such little time on the mat. It's that he spends such little time in compromised positions.
True. Yeah, he's just never the one getting.
When you're dictating the pressure, it's way better on your joints.
Facts. So Drake, to answer your question, Nationals is March 16th through 18th, and spring break is 12th through the 19th, which means spring ball starts on Tuesday.
Oh. Which means he never gets a spring break, and he always goes straight from the national tournament to spring ball.
Oh, God.
And he does, okay. And that's coming off a grueling wrestling season where he's breaking his body down and didn't have the time to build it up in that 8-week program, which is really, really important. This is a tough,
and the wrestling season's coming right on the back of a full football season.
I mean, this is the toughest.
He doesn't get a break until May.
This is the toughest thing I've ever heard an athlete try and undertake, if I'm being honest. Knowing what somebody goes through at Iowa, or knowing how tough it was for us at Iowa, and knowing how much tougher wrestling is for the Brands brothers, from what I'm going to assume, like, if you had to pick one, I would say playing football for Coach Doyle and Coach Ferentz, Coach Doyle, is less strenuous than wrestling for the Brands brothers. I think he's trying to undertake something that to me seems physiologically impossible, but I can't wait to watch the kid go after it because he's way better than me. So
way I can't better. Wait. Kevin, you just put,
but
you
to
put
me, my body couldn't have done it. So it takes somebody much more special.
And that's the problem is I don't know if it's a.
You guys gotta go to school on top of this shit.
I don't know it. The way that Kevin just put that, the fact that once he gets into a full season of this, it's gonna go football season, which
it's gonna go camp in August to football season to wrestling season.
Right into wrestling.
Right into spring ball, which is basically football season again. And then, you know, you will get a couple of weeks in April for some more lifting, a couple weeks off in your May break, and then summer conditioning.
The way we're laying this out, there's actually no way. I really hope that he sits down and they'll have to sit down. The coaches are going to have to sit down, and he's going to have
just
these
talk to us, man. Ben, call me, dude. We'll lay it out for you really have.
You can probably do it for like 1 to 2 years when you're 18, 19, your body's
got 1,300 testosterone,
but I just don't see any way you can do that for 5 years.
Yeah, and even in those first couple years, that transition from the football season, whether assuming and hopefully the Hawks are in a bowl game every year, so I would like to, he's probably going to want to play the bowl game, right? And he's probably going to be a decent contributor. Kid's a stud on the football field. He's not playing both sports to sit one of them out. So, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know how you split. How are they going to split practice time, off season time? Like, where do you do your workouts?
That's what I'm saying. He's going to have to. They're going to have to be really, really smart about when about the 2 weeks, maybe even 3 weeks, where he's transitioning from bowl game to wrestling, and then again when he transitions from the championships into spring ball, he's going to have to get backed off training set. Like, he's going to have to come into spring ball and only do the first 45 minutes of practice or something like that. They're going to have to create a schedule where for a couple weeks during those transition periods, it's backed off or he will get hurt. It doesn't matter how much he recovers. Do you guys remember how fucking crazy it was to breathe after the bowl game? And it was like, oh my God, we get a break. And that's from football. Uh-huh. Then he goes immediately into wrestling, immediately into spring ball. There's no way.
There's no way, right?
He'll kill himself.
I mean, that's what it feels like, man. I don't know how somebody can be that mentally strong.
And you know what? Even if you could do it, why? Why would you want to? So he has to be super smart about it. And again, I think this conversation is sort of it's dumb to have at this point because the kid's going to do it. And I'm like I'm with you, Drake. I can't wait to see him try and just be an absolute two-sport superstar. But if he was playing the odds and he wanted to be great at one of them, you just absolutely would not take the route he's taking. But
man, this podcast has had his meat in our mouths, though.
Speaking of multi-sport athletes, though, y'all see Brody Brecht clocking in at 101, taking down the number one LSU Tigers this week.
12-4. Did he throw that day? Because I thought it. I saw
he started.
He started and got tossed from the game for shit talking the ump when he came out. Yeah. Dude, my respect and swag level for Brody Breck just times 100, dude.
Where can I get a Brody Breck jersey? Somebody needs baseball to get me a Brody Breck baseball jersey, and I will wear it on the podcast.
I guarantee the surplus store is selling them, 100%. Please,
send me one, and I'll have the Wash of Walk-Ons LLC Venmo you.
Facts. So, yeah, they played on 2 days ago, right? Friday?
Saturday, I believe.
They played on Saturday, so yesterday. 12-4. The boys didn't just win.
They blew them out. Blow them out, throw them out of their own stadium, or was it
they're in Texas at a little four-way classic. But Dick stopped them.
24 vibes I had.
Yeah, a little bit, right? In baseball, 12-4, that's an ass beating.
Mm-hmm.
And Brody threw the first four innings. From what I gather, because I didn't watch the game, I only see people tweeting about it. Right now, early in the season, he is I didn't even know this was
on a pitch count.
No, early in the season, he's walking a lot of guys more than he should, but he's also striking a lot of dudes out. And his whiff rate, which I didn't know whiff rate was a thing.
Yeah.
His whiff rate is evidently God tier. Like, no one can fucking hit this guy.
If you're swinging, you're probably missing.
You're not making contact.
I saw some clips. He doesn't just have a wicked fastball.
He's slider.
Got a dirty slider.
His slider is a fucking otherworldly.
Well, if you can throw 101, just imagine how much spin you can put on a slider.
Well, if you're thinking fastball, you have to swing like the ball's coming out of his hand.
Yeah.
Oops, it's a slider. I'm fucked. You know?
Dude. Anybody who answered slider on that poll from last podcast or two podcasts ago, or anybody who answered Brody Brecht as the one you were going to
go face, watch that slider.
Yeah. Might want to retract your statement and no, try something
not,
else.
It's just not an option. No.
So shout out to the boys, and somebody, several people on Twitter were like, hey, let's give the baseball team some props. I know the three of us are the last people you want to talk to when it comes to baseball. But they went down and took down number one LSU. Come on now.
Let's go.
I think they won again today.
Just think about the just think about the weekend for the Hawks.
Huge.
Baseball and both basketball teams. Huge. And wrestling is about to start Big Tens.
Big Tens is next week. Or is that no, it's it's a week from this next weekend. Yeah.
What a time to be a Hawk.
Unbelievable weekend.
The wrestling team's peaking too. They're wrestling their best going into the Big Ten tournament.
I see there's a couple of guys that are also undefeated at 125.
Really?
And I believe that some guy dropped down. So I heard that one guy dropped down from 133, and he's a pretty big 125er.
And he thinks he's going to beat Spencer?
I think he's one of the undefeated guys. If
the guy who won last year from Rutgers? No, Michigan. Yeah, I think he graduated, though.
There's some guy that one of my jiu-jitsu buddies is trying to talk shit to me about. Oh, he's going to take down Spencer, da-da-da. I just know that he's got a decent amount of competition this year, for sure. It's not like Spencer's going to walk in there and it's just his tournament. I think he definitely has a couple tough matches.
Bro, Spencer is annihilating people this year.
Yeah, he could. He could. Maybe I'm wrong.
He is wrestling his best.
Yeah.
Crazy what a couple ACLs will do for you.
So what's the situation on his ACLs? Does he have ACLs now?
Yeah, he missed last year and he got them repaired.
Yeah, he got both his ACLs repaired last year.
So they're good.
They are
as good as
intact.
They are as good as
his knees are connected by some ligament.
I want you to think about this.
By the appropriate amount of ligaments.
Sure.
If Spencer Lee had Ben Keeter's body, he might be mentally tough enough to pull off the gauntlet. So maybe there is a possibility that it's doable. Because I don't think – the kid had both his ACLs repaired in one year, came back from both those rehabs to be on top of his own game. He's on top of the he's on top of the hill already, and he's just he's just stacking a ladder and climbing more rungs. So it's like, at what point is he just like mentally bulletproof?
Yeah, you make a really good point. Spencer is I think you two would probably agree with me when you think about yourself in this situation, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that think this way, because if you don't, then you're kind of being, I don't know, it's questionable, right? But for some, it's probably more true than others. When I think about mental toughness, I don't think I'm more mentally tough than certain other people, but I also don't think that there's many people out there who are like just far and away guaranteed more mentally tough than I am. Like, I will not admit it to myself. I believe that I'm one of the most mentally tough motherfuckers on earth. I haven't had really any chance to prove that, but I've been, you know, I prove it to myself in plenty of ways. Spencer's one of those guys. Like, he's tougher than me. He's mentally tougher than me. He's physically tougher than, and so I get what you're saying there. I don't know. When you bring up Ben, you know, being the next, I think a lot of people, especially in Iowa right now, there was a video that someone sent me, like, is Ben Keeter the best Iowa athlete ever? A lot of people like are looking for him to just step in and be another Spencer. Like,
it is hard to argue on high school athlete, though, because there's only seven dudes in wrestling who have ever done what he did. And then he was also a very good football player on top of it, good enough to earn a scholarship to a very good university for linebackers.
He's certainly in the conversation.
He's got to be in the conversation.
It would depend on what your criteria for athlete is, right?
He's not going to run the fastest or jump the highest.
I was going to say, like, he's probably not the most.
Like if you were to have like any like state track places, like, sure. Then I think that's another resume patter.
Lock it down, right?
Deal for it, right?
Yeah. You know? I can think of some pretty athletic dudes who are probably better athletes, but accomplishment wise, resume wise, there's plenty of people listening right now. They're like, oh, here's a guy. There's probably some people you could put in that conversation with Ben, but he's up there. He's fucking up there. Sheriff might be up there as well. He was a four sport athlete.
And it's funny that his name came directly to my mind, and you said it.
Well, I just remember someone telling me that he played tennis, and was like competitive as shit on the tennis.
Can you imagine returning a serve from Sheriff?
I'd just be like, okay, I'm done. Like, we're not doing this, right?
Would suck.
So, let's talk about some Iowa basketball, huh? Did you guys watch either of the games?
Only the highlights of both.
I was not able to see the men's game. I was on my way. We went and saw Grandma and Grandpa this weekend for baby girl. We went to Marshalltown. So we were on the way there during the men's game. Got to watch all of the women's game today. Holy shit, boys. What is going on? The Hawks had been sliding a little bit.
And it was college game day today, right?
Yeah. College game day for basketball
was in Carver, and the Hawks by a million flags were flying.
They had them on this. Shout out to Mama Hawk, big time, long time of the walk on army, and I think Grant's bringing it up right now. One of the OGs. She sent me a DM yesterday that said, "Hey, the HBAM flag is gonna be on game day. We're going." And it wasn't just there. They had prime real estate right behind the desk doing God's work, right? And
Mama Hawk.
Look at this shit right there.
You just love to see it.
She could have literally only done like one single spot in the entire arena better.
Correct. If they had moved over eight seats,
front row, so that the flag was literally shoulder level with the two mid ladies. How did she get that in that spot?
I don't know, but
shit.
Yeah, amazing. They got
what a power move by you, Mama Hawk. You're the goat.
Yeah. And then they got a picture with Herky as well. That with the flag, some unbelievable publicity. Shout out to the Walk On Army, just doing amazing work. And yeah, that just, it's really, really cool to see that. Like, it, we're watching the game with my in-laws, right? And you know, they're hanging out with Kinley. We're just chilling, and then all of a sudden, the H-band flag is like on TV, right? And like my mother-in-law is like, "Oh, that's cool," and I'm like, "It's like, fuck, that is cool.
It's very cool.
Like that
it's
is
very,
not
very cool.
It's become a little common for us. It feels like, oh, this is what happens.
Not for me. Every but time like, I see it in shots like that, then it always makes me feel so, like that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But before we get to the women's game, yesterday the men's team was on a slide, right? We lost some games that we probably shouldn't have. Been playing not that great. We come back to Carver. Michigan State's in the building. And Michigan State is shooting lights out. Just murdering. We're down 13 with a minute and a half to go. I had checked the score right before we had gotten to Marshalltown. And we walk in, we get everything settled. Lauren looks up at me like 20 minutes later and goes, "You know, Iowa won in overtime." I'm like, "What?" I was more confused than I'd ever been in my life. So sure enough, I look it up and I'm like, "There's no way." Like, they were getting pummeled. But hey, the Hawks decide to make all of their threes.
Has to be an all-time comeback, yeah?
It's up there. I remember a few years ago, there's a game in the tournament where I remember
the one you're talking about.
It was a you and I. They were down 10 with like 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
And the full court press absolutely made the team unravel.
I want to say it was Mississippi State. It was like a team with like a
I think it was Texas A&M or Texas or something like that.
Okay, yeah. So, someone with those A&M, like yeah. light colors. So like A&M or Mississippi State colors.
I think it was A&M. I think it was A&M. And they were up 11 with 37 seconds.
Yeah.
And you and I just absolutely deteriorated. Horrible. I felt bad.
It was Texas A&M, by the way.
It was A&M.
They couldn't handle the pressure, dude.
It was like the first time that you see the press in middle school basketball and everyone shits their pants. And it's like,
we're from third grade to fourth grade and you're allowed to press and you're just like, oh no.
Shout out to Todd Kluver, by the way. We were the first ones to implement a 2-3 zone back in third grade. And there was no rules against it, but the other like third grade, dude, no one can shoot from three. So, of course. You start doing a 2-3 zone in third grade, and it's like, how do we score on this?
You don't.
So that I.
That's why third grade games ended about 12-9.
Yeah, it was. Shout out Todd. But anyway, unbelievable. Sanford hits the three at the buzzer to send him to overtime. Perkins balled out. Connor McCaffrey, I think, had two of those threes late.
Two of the big ones, dude, and one of them was stupid contested.
Oh, Pat had a three. Chris had one. I mean, it was unbelievable. I don't know how Michigan State shit it down their leg. Again, I don't know how does Iowa get so many shot attempts up in such little time? Baffles me. I still haven't seen the last whole 90 seconds of the game. But the boys pull one away. From what I can tell, that's secured them a spot in the tournament. Like, that pretty much locks up that they are in.
Yeah, so what, they're 18-11 now with
two games
one
left.
Or two more regular season games. So, like, usually, yeah, 20 and you're usually good.
Right.
Plus, you're going to get a tournament game or two.
Yeah. So, big time from them. Very cool highlight when Peyton hits that three, by the way. You can see Caitlin Clark freak out and run the baseline. She was in the crowd. And she's like hyping everybody up. Flash forward a day. Game day's in Iowa City. Number two, Indiana, who they have a good team. Indiana's fucking good. They have two studs.
Number two in the country.
Number two in the country. They beat us a couple weeks ago. And the Hawks go wire to wire toe-to-toe with the Indiana Hoosiers. It was a game that I tweeted about it. It felt like a men's March Madness game in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight or the Final Four. It literally felt that good. I could not sit down in the fourth quarter. Caitlin is unbelievable. She is absolutely scoring on you more than 6 out of 10 times in that scenario. I mean, there's times where she drives. All of Indiana is on her, and she's still laying it in. It doesn't fucking matter. Unreal. And they call a bullshit call at the end of the game to put their good big girl up on the line. She drains both free throws, 85-83. There's 1.5 seconds left. Hawks take a timeout. Everybody knows it's going to Caitlin Clark.
Everyone knows. There's no other option.
Doesn't matter.
Set the double pick.
Double pick. She gets a little bit of space. Set the feet. Let it fly. And bang. At the buzzer. 86-85, dude. Unbelievable.
And every practice shot you ever took growing up is now worth it in one moment because you actually hit the shot you've been dreaming of since you were a four-year-old kid in the driveway.
That was the very shot. Like, you know, you get in the inbound from the sideline, shooting from the wing, fade away.
Against the number two team in the country at home.
And you say the exact scenario to yourself. Number one, up two, they inbound the ball to Kluver. He shoots. I never got those opportunities. Fuck you, Blake Kimball. But yeah, it's the literal, and it's just like
and then I heard one of the loudest Carvers ever been
from, you got to imagine it was supposed pandemonium
from people that were measuring. Yeah
supposedly somebody had 116 on the decibel meter or something like that.
116?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what I saw.
That's got to beat Kinnick.
Yeah, it's different because it's inside.
Right.
119. Holy
Grant,
shit.
Can you do a little search for us? What's the loudest Kinnick's ever been recorded at?
119 is pandemonium.
I want to say that that Penn State, when they got the three straight false starts.
That was loud.
I think that was 114. It's outside.
Wow.
It's outside.
The 114 in a Kinnick stadium that's got
the new North end zone makes such a difference. Drake, have you been into a game since?
Yeah. I was in the North end zone one time. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So
looks about the same between like 115, 120. Wow. So
it's amazing. For a girls' basketball game, dude.
Think about that, dude. Times are changing in Iowa City, dude. It's like between Megan Gustafson, Caitlin Clark, and I know I'm missing one. Who's the third one? Superstar. There was a superstar before Gustafson, wasn't there?
I don't know about superstar. No.
Okay, but between those two.
I mean, between both teams, you've got Luka, the Murray brothers, and then those two, Gustafson and Caitlin
Clark.
But
just women's basketball in general is one of the key ticket items in Iowa City. That's a ticket to have.
I think it. Yeah, if you keep putting out a good product, people are going to want to come watch it, right?
That's crazy, dude. Women basketball, you're going to be selling 15,000-16,000 seats in Carver. That's mind blowing if you think about it, dude.
I have an opinion on Caitlin Clark, and her. You know, a lot of people haters.
She's one of the most influential athletes in Iowa sports history. Is that what you're about to say?
No, I mean, that's locked up, guaranteed, sealed away. I think with where women's basketball is, right? And a lot of, I mean, they talk about what Caitlin is doing for the game, right? For the game of basketball.
Not game just of women's basketball.
Of women's basketball. I actually don't think she's cocky enough. I wish... There's in women's basketball, for it to get more popular, for more stadiums and more people to care across the country, like Iowa City has started to for the women's game, you have to have girls who will put people in seats. And Caitlin does that with her play, but also because She's got the swag factor. She does the after the game today, she walks over and shrugs to the like she, you know, she does the Jordan shrug because that's become her thing, right? You need her to be a little bit of a villain because that's what sells the tickets. That's what stirs the pot. And I actually think that you need more cockiness, swag out of the players that are the best in women's basketball for it to move forward. Otherwise, they're not dunking, right? And not everybody shoots like Caitlin. You got to have something that brings the flair. I was asked, do I have a problem with how she plays her cockiness? No. I want it to be five times more because that's what's doing it. That's what's making it so fun to watch. Like,
it's annoying for players that do not deserve to act like that, right? You earn the right to act the way you do on the court.
100%. And that's why only a few players in the country can do that. The Beckers girl, it's unfortunate that she's been hurt 2 years in a row. She's a girl who could do that stuff. You know, the Boston girl from South Carolina, there's a girl at LSU who's putting up absurd numbers, 24 points a game and 16 rebounds a game. It's unbelievable. The
16 boards is getting your work done.
Dude, the Indiana chick, she's scoring 20 some a game. Mackenzie Holmes. But
nobody's Caitlin Clark.
But, you know, Caitlin she's the poster child for the sport. And
all the other leagues do it, right? Is they highlight their stars to grow the sport.
Yeah.
You need stars.
I think Caitlin's around guaranteed for two more years. There's no way she doesn't take a COVID year. Why would she?
You got a Nike deal in college?
She's never going to get to play in front of that many fans in the WNBA.
No, right? Not even fucking close.
She's got an entire city wrapped around her finger, dude. She's like a college sports icon right now. Yeah. I would never leave that.
It's unbelievable. So,
jealous.
Yeah, unbelievable. Pat Mahomes tweeting about her.
Holy Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes sent out a tweet like, "What do you say? Like you dog," and tagged her or something like that.
That would be pretty cool to open your phone to. Have LeBron tweet at her next.
LeBron's put her on the story before.
Wow.
Yeah, and KD has posted about her multiple times.
Imagine.
Yeah, right here. Dog, Caitlin Clark. And he was quote tweeting Kittle's tweet about her. Like, you know, you got it. I guarantee if Caitlin just, you know, if she's the vanilla, you know, drain a three, show no emotion, run back, play good, like, you know, immediately just, and she doesn't do the shrugs, I guarantee it's not as exciting. I guarantee it. It's her flair. So, I don't know. Unbelievable basketball weekend in Iowa City. So close, right? I think the percent chance that Iowa wins that basketball game yesterday for the men was something like 0.3% or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And they come back and win. And then Iowa women go down two with a second and a half left, have to hit a buzzer beater throw in pass. And that one goes in for us too. And it automatically becomes just a weekend of lore for Hawkeye basketball. Unbelievable. You want to be playing well, knock off the number two.
As far as Hawkeye sports goes, especially just Hawkeye sports in general, that's one of the best weekends in Hawkeye sports history. 100%. Three sports did something insane.
Knock off number one, knock off number two, and make one, the biggest comeback in probably program history. Craziest.
So that's got to be a weekend for the record books.
Unbelievable. Good to be a Hawk, man.
Sweet to be a Hawk right now. That's sweet.
The Friendship Podcast, another hour down, 398.
Shout out, Gary. Sorry you weren't really in this podcast. We missed you, pal.
Yeah, Gary.
Oh, hey, I promise I'm working on the internet. I promise. It's going to work eventually.
Well,
it might take 20 episodes going to work eventually. I promise.
It's all right. We endured through Gervais internet for about 100 there.
Would a good router do something? Can we buy the kid a good router? Is that
maybe,
or is it just
shit? So I live in an apartment building. Our whole building uses like the building has a Wi-Fi.
Are you in Hawks Ridge?
I don't want to say where I live, but
smart.
I'll tell you all that stuff off the.
I have Gary's address.
Yeah. All right, let's leak it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna dox.
But no, sorry to the fans. I'll get it to work soon. I promise.
Gary, just trying to please.
Great guy, Gary.
The fucking guy.
Triple G, great guy.
Gary. When's the 21st, Gary?
March 6th.
The 6th.
8 days.
Fuck.
Oh my God, it's coming right around the corner, Kloofy. We got the WUW wallet. We got to pop some bottles for our man G money.
I might have to
in the club.
Might have to send some funds to your account, Kevin. Venmo you some funds, and have you take.
At least we got to Venmo him $20 for some 20 pitchers over at Spoco.
Oh, facts. I mean, it's gonna be more than that.
Well, I'll be swamped in midterms, so I won't be at
Gary.
I won't be doing fun, unfortunately. But spring break,
Gary,
is like
there's a lot later, of so there's a lot of midterms that you can take. There's only one time you can turn 21.
Facts.
that's true. Well, I'm going to be taking a lot more midterms if I fail my midterms because I'll have to retake the class.
That's true.
What midterms you got coming up? What are we studying this
semester? I have entrepreneurial finance midterm.
That's
on
a bullshit
Wednesday,
class
or Thursday.
That's a bullshit club.
Entrepreneurial finance, let me give it to you. Do everything on debt, write everything off, and clean drug money. There you go.
Wow.
A, class. B, and C.
A master class by Drake Kulik.
I'll let my professor know about that.
Yeah. Let's see what he thinks about that advice.
Where you said it's this Thursday, so then your birthday's after that. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, so then on Wednesday after that, I have freedom of expression first class.
Bud, I know you didn't just tell us that you have to study for a class on the First Amendment instead of.
Well, I got to know all the
I'm going to exercise.
You know, not over this semester.
I'm going to exercise my First Amendment right to tell you to shut the fuck up. And go out on your 21st birthday.
Well, you know what the biggest issue is? You know what the biggest issue is with it? Is that I have my – so I do work at another job that I do, and right. I'm scheduled for work on my birthday.
Does your
quit.
Boss know? Yeah, dude.
Well, I have to,
you
what,
work for
I
us now. What do they pay you, Gary?
Whoa.
I don't – actually, no, I shouldn't say.
Whoa. You could say it. You can
tell
say
the
it.
Boss
I just,
we're gonna match it, and he can eat dicks because you're going out on your 21st.
Drake, you're making Clue very uncomfortable because those.
I was gonna say that was not what I meant.
Are
by
not
I was just
account,
saying
right?
what I'm playing. I'm
we're,
doing
we're gonna have to find a lot of money to do that because I lost it all. So, yeah. Anyway, hope you enjoyed. Hope you had a great weekend as a Hawkeye. Be hard not to. It's good to be in the black and gold. Talk to you on the next one. Till then, peace.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.